Welcome to the CDER Small Business and Industry Assistance SBIA podcast series. Today's topic, FDA embraces emerging technology for bioequivalence evaluation of locally acting nasal sprays. For today's podcast, we gathered insights from Dr. Bing Li, Acting Director for the Office of Generic Drugs, Office of Bioequivalence 1, on the recent approval of the first generic nasal spray containing mometasone furoate, manufactured by Apotex. This application was submitted in December 2008 and approved in March 2016, about 8 years of work. Mometasone nasal spray is a locally acting nasal product. Bioequivalence, or BE, evaluation of locally acting drugs is a very challenging task. For systemically acting drugs, the rate and extent of drug absorption, the basis for evaluating BE, are reflected by the drug concentrations in blood circulation. However, locally acting drugs exert their therapeutic effect directly at the site of action, so they may or may not reach systemic circulation. Therefore, traditional pharmacokinetic or PK approaches to the determination of BE are not applicable. Furthermore, aerosolized nasal drug products are complex dosage forms that integrate a drug with a device. So product performance depends on the interaction between the formulation and the delivery device. Due to these challenges, FDA recommended a weight of evidence approach, since no single study alone could adequately demonstrate the equivalence of these products. This approach to support a generic for mometasone nasal spray is described in FDA's draft guidance on bioequivalence recommendation for mometasone furoate nasal spray. In this application, however, Apotex used an in vitro approach using innovative technology in lieu of the clinical endpoint study, which was deemed initially unacceptable by FDA. This particle sizing technology, called morphologically directed Raman spectroscopy, or MDRS, first became available in 2012. It measures morphological characteristics, like size and shape, using its microscopic component and performs chemical identification by Raman spectra. It enables a comparison of the particle size of APIs in the generic and innovator drug products. Successful use of this technology would set a precedent to accept an in vitro approach in lieu of a clinical endpoint BE study. It would also open the possibility to change FDA's historical weight of evidence approach for the BE evaluation of locally acting nasal suspension products. FDA accepted the in vitro particle size data from MDRS in lieu of the clinical endpoint BE study. This is a first in OGD history. FDA is very happy to have approved an application that included this innovative technology just 4 years after it became available. This shows our inclination to embrace emerging technology. There were also many technical challenges encountered for this application. For example, the clinical endpoint BE study was unacceptable to FDA because it used API manufactured from a site that was not intended for the manufacture of the commercial batch. The two API batches showed a certain level of difference in terms of their particle size distribution. As mentioned earlier, the PK endpoint BE studies were challenging as they involved locally acting drugs. In vitro BE studies were also challenging and repeated multiple times. A total of 6 in vitro BE tests are recommended for this drug. The firm first conducted all 6 using API manufactured by a single site. As the firm later switched to API manufactured by a second site for batches intended for commercial use, they had to repeat some of these studies. The generic used an anhydrous API, whereas the innovator used a monohydrate API. Anhydrous and monohydrate drug substances have different hydration levels. Typically, a generic firm uses the same form as that of the RLD, since the anhydrous form of the API and the monohydrate form may undergo interconversion, we required adequate evidence to demonstrate that the final drug formulation remains anhydrous throughout the shelf life. Clinical BE determinations are expensive and time-consuming. Firms face huge challenges with recruiting patients, and the results are unpredictable in many cases. Simple, accurate, in vitro studies can greatly enhance ANDA reviews. This application opened the possibility for in vitro appraisals of BE to be used in the review of future ANDAs submitted to the FDA. This approval is a great example of the commitment and collaboration between CDER staff and industry to overcome challenges and embrace new technology in bringing a generic product to the American public. A link to the full SBIA Chronicle article and more information about CDER's SBIA program may be found at www.fda.gov/CDER SBIA. Thanks for tuning in.